Good morning, Open Arms. Welcome to our first live video cast. We want you to be informed of what's going on with Open Arms. So first of all, I'd just like to make an announcement concerning the coronavirus. We've been, it's been fearful. It's kind of scary to look at this virus and what it's doing around the world, for sure. And I don't know how you're feeling about it this morning. Maybe you're kind of laid back about it, or maybe you're a little scared. But I just wanted to confirm that it is serious. It is a serious virus, of course, and I don't belittle that at all. The thing is that media, news media, and social media can hype it up a lot, and they can take what needs to be a cautious thing and turn it into something of a panicky thing or a very fearful thing. And so please don't get caught up in that. Be cautious, be careful, follow the instructions that they tell us to follow. Know that your environments and how that is how is affecting you. Wash your hands lots and all those things that they tell us to do. But don't be panicked. Don't be panicked and don't fall into being part of those who instill panic in others, is what I suggest to you. I'm not belittling it at all. I think it's a serious issue and we do need to be cautious, for sure. It's a new age. And so as we go forward as a church body, as Open Arms, we have a smaller congregation. We meet here lately. It's been just over 50, so it's not a huge congregation. So we're going to continue meeting starting next week, Lord willing. As things progress, we don't know what's going to happen, but as of right now, we're going to continue meeting. And so I invite you to come out. But if you have any worries or any concerns about being in that kind of environment, please don't come. This is not to entice you to come. It's just giving you an opportunity to come and to worship and to gather. For those who feel okay, they can come. For those who don't, please stay at home. I don't want you to come and be all worried and panicky. So the sermons will be available online. So when we look at next week and how that's going to go down, we also want to reiterate what the government's been saying. If you've traveled outside of the country and you're coming back, please quarantine yourself at least for long enough to know that you don't have any symptoms. Or if you've hung out with someone or had contact with someone who's traveled outside of the country, be cautious and please stay at home until you know that you don't have any of the symptoms that the virus brings. Also, if you're elderly, I use that word with caution, or sick, where you're prone to this stuff, you know, it might be a good idea just to take that extra precaution. But if you're healthy and you're not scared or it doesn't worry you, don't use it for an excuse, come out and worship with us. So I encourage that. I encourage the worship time. I ask you to pray for our country, for the world, for those around us. I ask you to pray in regards to this virus that it would end and that we would that our God would show mercy. We know that God is in control of all things, and this is not outside of God's will, apparently. And maybe it will turn many to our Lord. That's what our ultimate hope is that many will be, if there's fear instilled, it will be a fear of God, not a fear of man or anything else. And speaking of that, that's what our message is about this morning. It's about fear of man versus fear of God. I want you to take your Bibles, if you have them, and you should because you're at home. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn to Luke chapter 12. Turn there and we're going to look at verses 1 to 12. If you will join me in a moment, but I just want you to get ready. So grab your Bibles. I'll give you a few minutes. Grab your coffee. You're sitting there with your Bible and your coffee, and you're all chilled and relaxed, and you're ready to hear what God's Word's got to speak to you this morning. I pray that He will speak to your heart. I pray that you're listening. I pray that you're tuned in. And I pray that you are, I pray that you are praying in regards to what's going on. We'll take some time here in a moment to pray for that. And just before we read the passage. But first of all, I want to tell you a story, okay? Now this is in regards to, it's an illustration in regards to the message today. A story of two grown men, I being one of them, my brother-in-law being the other, who used to live with us at one time, used to stay in the same house. And at one night, one evening, our girls are just little, and my wife was there, Lillian, and we were all gathered around, and somehow the door was opened, and in comes this bat. Now, I don't know what your thoughts are of bats, but this bat comes flying in the house. And so my brother-in-law and I, being the men of the house, we decided that we were going to take care of this. And it was our responsibility as men. So we both grabbed a blanket, and we were all ready to tackle this bat. What we were going to do is we were going to capture the bat, take it outside. So my wife was watching this, and my girls are cuddled up on the couch, and there were screeches and fears of this bat flying around, but we were two grown men, so we were going to take care of it. Well, we each had our blankets, and we were ready to capture this bat. But the thing was that if you know anything about bats, is that they have a radar system, so they sense the blankets. So what happened is the moment they got up to the blanket, they would do the swoop over the blanket. Well, what was behind the blanket was us. Like, both of us. He had his blanket, I had mine. But we were on either sides of the room, so when the bat come and we tried to capture it, we would just about get the bat, and it would fly up and over, and we'd get all, and it would get close to our dudes, if you know what I mean. It would get close to our head, and it freaked us out, so we were ducking and going like that, and we were kind of freaked out at this little bat that was flying all around, and my wife was hysterical. She couldn't stop laughing. She thought it was so funny that two grown men were running around the house trying to catch this little bat, and every time the bat would come close to the blanket, it would head up over the blanket, and it would come close to our heads, and we'd be all freaked out, and we'd be running around, and I'd be hollering at him, he'd be hollering at me, and we were making this big spectacle over this little bat, two grown men. Now, how ridiculous is that? It's pretty ridiculous when you think about it. This little wee bat and two grown men. And we were scared to death of this bat. So when you compare them, and I know that we all have these fears of these, you know, creepy crawly things and these small things. Some things are legitimate fear. Some things are big and scary, but some things are small, and you know, we see insects or snakes that we're scared of. Some of us are scared of. They don't have anything that can really harm us, but we're kind of freaked out about them. We're kind of scared of them. But if we think about that reasonably, that doesn't really make sense, does it? Doesn't really make sense in reasonably. But we're all freaked out about it anyway. Well, today I want to talk to you about God and man and how ridiculous it is sometimes, and all the time, when we place the fear of man or the fear of people over God. So, as we read this passage, this is a lot of what it's all about, and I want you to tune in. I want you to think about how this affects you personally here this morning. All right, so let's pray, and then we'll read the scripture. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are ultimately the one in control. You are a God who has created all things. You are in control of all things. And God, if we belong to you, we are secure in your hands. You're secure in your arms, and God, we are grateful for that. Lord, and as panic runs rampant throughout this world right now, Lord, we pray that you will comfort us, that you'll give us an understanding that you are the one who's in control. Lord, I pray that you will give us that sense of peace in our hearts. Not that we should be negligent or to ignore the truth, but to be at peace because you are in control and you are a mighty God. And the greatest weapon we have against this virus or anything else is our prayer. And Lord, I pray that you will instill in us the need for prayer, that we would pray for one another, that we would pray for other countries, that we would pray for other churches, that we would pray for other people, we'd pray for the world, that they would turn to you in their time of need or this time of scariness. Lord, I pray that you would be the central to every heart in this church and churches around the world, and we would use this opportunity to minister to the needs of others and to speak truth into their lives. I pray that you will bless this message, Lord, that you will use it to speak to hearts, to change lives, that it would all be done for your glory. God, we give it over to you by the power of your Spirit. May you lead it and guide it. God, as the words come from my mouth, the words that you've laid on my heart, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 12, as we look at the passages, I'm going to read along with me. You can do that now because you're at home. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after your body has been killed has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, this very hairs on your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what you should say." As we read this, look at the context. Jesus, before this in chapter 11, has just been rebuking the Pharisees. He's kind of giving them some woes. Woe to you, Pharisee, or woe to you, teachers of the law. Woe to you who put all this outward observance on and pretend to be something that you're not. Even when you do good, you're doing it for selfish motives, basically, is what Jesus is telling them. And their hearts are really not for the love of the people. Their hearts are for people to see them as they really, truly aren't. As the other scriptures tells us, Jesus calls them whitewashed tombs. And so here we come into the context. Just after Jesus does this rebuking, or these woes, these warnings against them, he starts off with this passage, and the first thing he does is he addresses the disciples in the crowd. It says he speaks to them first. It means he primarily is speaking to them. He hones them in this great big crowd. Remember, there's a crowd, and they're trampling over one another. But he's specifically speaking to the disciples now. He's honing in on the disciples. And he wants them to be cautious. He's saying, listen, don't fall into this thing that the heresy, this yeast of the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. They pretend to be something that they're not. Don't fall into that. Don't fall into that. Be real. If you are my disciple, if you say that you are my disciple, basically is what Jesus is saying. If you say that you are my disciple, then then when you are in a crowd that it is not liked, or where the name of Jesus is hated, or you're hated for your faith, stand up for the truth. If you are my disciple, don't change with the crowds. Don't change with the people. If you say that you're real here, be real. Be real in every area of your life. Don't be scared of the people. Don't be afraid of the people. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't act one way here in church. Basically, and I'm bringing it to our context now. Don't pretend in worship. Don't pretend in your life with when you're gathered around other believers that you love Jesus and you sing praises to Jesus and you honor Jesus and Jesus is your whole life. But then when you step out into the world, when you step out into the surrounding world in your workplace or wherever you're at or in the social places that you go, don't ignore that. Don't deny that, because that's hypocritical. It's hypocritical. And he says, don't fall into that. I'm warning you, don't fall into that. And we all can have this bit of hypocrisy in our hearts, can't we? I don't think there's anyone immune from it. But I don't think that's justification to have it in our lives. I think we need to purge it out of our lives. But as we go on through this passage, we understand the seriousness of this. Jesus brings some pretty serious things up as we look at what he's saying throughout this passage. He's speaking to the disciples and he's saying, you know, you may think that you're getting away with it, but nothing will be concealed in the end. All those secrets that you speak in private and you think you're getting away with, all those things that you're saying, and when you're denying Jesus, and when you sit there in those conversations that deny Jesus, or when you're speaking against others in the church, all those things that you thought you've done in secret, one day will be revealed, spoken from the rooftops. You will be exposed for who you truly are. So be careful. Be careful not to be real. Be careful to be real, I should say. Be careful to be real publicly. Be careful to be real as you are at home. If you're struggling with sin, be honest about it. Don't be a hypocrite. It's worse to be a hypocrite than it is just to be real. I spoke to a guy the other day who's just honest. I asked him what his thoughts were about God. You know, I'd just done him a big favor, and he had every reason to lie to me and say, oh, yeah, I believe in God. But he was honest with me. He said, you know what? I struggle with if there's even a God. And I said, I appreciate your honesty, because that's the place to start. That's the place to start, right? You got to be real. You got to be real, right? What are your thoughts? And if you are a professing believer in Jesus Christ, don't be afraid of the people. Don't be afraid to profess that publicly. Don't be a hypocrite. There's nothing concealed. One day, it'll all be revealed. Do you know that? One day it will all be revealed. So as we look at that, though, we need to understand something else. That one day it will all be revealed. But did you know that right now, everything you do in private even, and everything you say to people, and everything you mention in people, and all the conversations you're caught up in, and where you deny Jesus just by not even mentioning him or defending the church or saying anything about it, when you have an opportunity, when you just pretend that you don't care where he's not popular, where you do that, one day that will be revealed. It's not always concealed. But right now, Jesus Christ is right there. He knows exactly what you're saying. He knows exactly your thoughts. He knows exactly what's happening. So just remember that even now, it's revealed to God who you really are. So I think we just really need to take this seriously about our following Jesus Christ and living it out publicly. Pastor Greg Allen points out that the definition of hypocrisy is a hypocrite is someone who puts on the pretense of being all that they should be, but who in reality is not. So it's one thing not being, but pretending that you are is another. He goes on to say that a hypocrite is a spiritual phony, basically. I don't think you want to be a spiritual phony. I don't want to be a spiritual phony. I want to be real, right? I want to be real. I want my faith and who I put my faith and trust in, Jesus Christ. I want that to be proclaimed on the rooftops. Not my faults, not my hypocrisy, not what I'm not. I want the truth of who He is to be proclaimed. I want Him to be revealed in this world. And so I pray that God will give His church a spirit of a boldness, a hunger for the truth, and a desire to tell people and what it means to follow Christ and that they are a believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus, I want you to know, are you okay with revealing your faith to the public? Is it hard? I hear it all the time. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to be real. Because you're scared. You're fearful. That's what it comes down to. It comes down to this idea. That's what prevents us from being real with people, is there's a fear. And that's the title of this message, but that's what it really comes down to. And here specifically is talking about fear of death, which is ultimately the greatest fear, because you're scared of somebody going to kill you. Now, we don't have to really deal with that in our culture, although there has been cases where people have died for the faith. I'm not saying that doesn't never happen, but for the most part, our greatest fear is that we will be hated or disliked or ostracized or made fun of, or, you know, that we just won't be popular, we just won't fit into the popular crowd. That's our greatest fear. And those are real fears. But God says, I want you to compare that fear. I want you to compare that. And this is what He says. I want you to compare that. I want you to compare that to Me. I want you to compare what man could do to me. There's some Psalms that talk about fear. Because we often think as Christians in this hyper-grace movement, we think that as Christians, fear has nothing to do with our lives anymore because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, right? We have no more fear of God. Well, that's not true. There may not be any more fear of hell or judgment if you are truly in Christ, and you need to make sure that you are. There may not no more fear in that, but God is scary. Jesus said, you know, you can be scared of those who can kill the body, but God has such a greater, is so much greater than that. I mean, after they're done with the body, that's it. They can't do anything more, do you? But after that point, you have this God who has the power, the authority to throw you into hell. That's scary. I hope you understand that is scary. You know, there's some Psalms that really reiterate. Psalms and Proverbs speak a lot of fear, about fear, and fear of God, not fear of man, but they speak a lot about fear. Psalms 11:10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Maybe you've heard that before. The beginning of wisdom. I want you to take that and say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to be wise? Understand what it means to fear God. Not in a condemning way, if you're in Christ. If you aren't in Christ, yeah. but understand that your wisdom is derived, according to Scripture, from fearing God. If you want to make wise decisions and choices as a believer in Jesus Christ, there's something about fear that starts that off, the fear of God. Begins that. And then it says in Proverbs, it's funny how the Psalms and the Proverbs kind of line up here, because Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want to know anything? Start with the fear of God. In other words, recognize who He is. Sometimes we've belittled Him to be our buddy or our friend. And I'm not saying He isn't, because the Bible does say that. But that doesn't take away from the power and the authority and who He is, His majesty, and the scary things that He can do, and how we look at throughout Scripture. Don't negate, don't Don't look at God with anything else but understanding that He is almighty and He is to be feared. Nothing in this world can be feared. I don't care if when in comparison to God. I don't care what it is or who it is. It's God that we should be feared. It's God that we should understand. So another proverb says this. It says, fear of the Lord prolongs life. You thought that staying out of a crowded room would prolong life. And it can, I guess. But remember, everything in your life is under God's control and hand. Understand that. That doesn't mean that we are to be foolish or unwise or unsafe. It doesn't mean that. The Bible speaks against that. Not to be careful. We don't test God. We don't test God. We have to be careful. But understand this, that ultimately, He is the one who decides when you go home. He's the one who decides, not you. He's the one who's in control. I think we've talked about that before. So fear of the Lord should be greater than any other fear. It should be. One last proverb, a fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I'm just throwing that in there. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Whew. Like, it should keep us on the right track, shouldn't it? Fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So, you being a Christian, if you're a Christian, if you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you being a Christian and not having any fear of the Lord doesn't really compute. It doesn't. Because all Christians should have a healthy fear of the Lord. Because you understand Him, you know Him. You know His you hold Him at reverence and awe. It's what draws you forward. See, fear is so closely related to faith. Fear is not that you don't negate His love and His mercy, but it's not all about love and mercy. It's about who He is and His mightiness and what He can do. And be grateful as a believer in Jesus Christ that He hasn't done that to you. And this should be what drives us when we look around the world, what drives us to take the gospel to other people. Whoa, Lord, if that person doesn't trust in You, then they should be scared to death. Because they're going to fight. They're going to find that then one day they're going to face the mighty wrath of God. And that is scary. And I don't want to put this hyper fear in you, but if you're going to be scared of anything, the Bible says it's God. Understand, as believers in Jesus Christ, there's peace in that. There's peace in that. You know, to compare fearing man to fearing God, and not wanting to live our life publicly or not be able to proclaim our faith or not to just hone back when we're in a group that's where Jesus is not popular or the church is not popular. I want you to look at this. He says, you know what? He compares hell and Jesus uses strong, these are Jesus words, right? He uses strong words, but when you look at this, and you look at my story in the beginning, and you think how silly it is for two grown men to be scared of a bat. How silly is it for us to place the fear of people over the fear of God? Doesn't match up, does it? Really, when we think about it, when we reason it out, it doesn't match up. May that be embedded in your heart when you walk out into this world. Not we go out and start preaching on the street corners or anything. That's God's called you to do that, of course, I guess. But that you're when you're in your conversations, to be able to be bold and stand before someone and say, you know what? I've trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I want to tell you what He's done in my heart. Don't be ashamed of it. And when somebody, I had a dream about this last night. Whereas in a whole room of men, and again, I'm off my nose, but because this was last night, I had a dream that, and that's probably because I was writing this message, but I was in a whole group of men, and this is not on, this is not to promote me or anything, it's just a dream that happened. And I'm sitting in a whole group of men, and it was a scary time, because here I have a few guys. There was Christians there. There's Christians, some I recognize, and some I respected very well, and I won't tell you their names, but they were sitting there, and then I was sitting at a table, and I was trying to witness to these people, and I said, can I just share a little bit with you about, just give me 2 minutes, and they were not wanting to hear from me, and I said, just give me a couple minutes, and but they wouldn't listen, and then I hear brothers in Christ off to the side be so uncomfortable that they are speaking out. And they were kind of joining in the mocking here. Come on, Doug, finish it up. Come on, Doug. And I remember how it made me feel in that dream. It made me feel so sad. But I know that it wasn't people that I needed to please. It's God. It's God. And the message that He's given us is salvation for the world. And there is no other hope. There is no other way for them to be saved. And some of them will not know what that means unless we take the fear of man and push it aside and say, God, I know that you are mighty and you are true and you are the one who will sustain me, and I will defend you and I will speak your truth to a lost and dying world, because that is exactly what they need and that is exactly what you've called me to do. So I will stand up and I will do that boldly. Is that what you want to do? And I want to help you get there. I really do. Open arms, I want to help you get there. I want to help you understand what it means to proclaim the truth. Because once you get the ball rolling, you pray to God. God's the one that gives you boldness. You pray to Him and He'll help you get there. You know, I'll take a little side note here on this fearing thing and how it makes us feel. I want you to look at it this way. Okay, I thought of this analogy. Let's say I had a girlfriend. I don't have a girlfriend. I have a wife. Okay, but let's say I had a girlfriend. Let's say I was way younger and I didn't have gray whiskers. And I had a girlfriend, and, you know, I was a teenager way back then. I had this girlfriend, but this girlfriend was not all that popular with the popular crowd that I was used to hanging out with. They really didn't like her and really didn't care for her. Let's just say that. And so here I am. I'm when we're alone, I'm proudly wearing her on my arm. I love her. I tell her I love her anyway. And I care a lot for her. I love being with her. I love the things that she can do for me. I love all those things. I love how she makes me feel. I love all those things. But then when I go in the public, I'm kind of like not really wanting anybody to see her. I kind of push her aside. I really don't want anybody to know her, because she's not very popular over here with my other friends. Yeah, I love you, but you know what? Right now, I'm just going to spend some time with my buddies. You know, knowing that in your heart, how awful does that sound? Would you say that I would really, that I do love that girl? No, not really. Not really. I really don't. If I was more scared of how my friends would feel over how I care about this girl and how she feels, you know, and that's usually an extreme case in a sense, but I'm sure it's happened. But I want you to compare that. When you go out in public, do you wear Jesus proudly on your arm? Do you wear Him proudly in your heart? Do you love people to know that the joy and the peace and the comfort that you experience through Jesus Christ, you want them to know it so bad? Is it your life? Is it the center of your life? Is it all that you are? Do you sing praises to Him on Sunday morning and worship Him and maybe even hold your hand up and give Him all the glory and pray to Him and read your scriptures even? And then when you step out into the world, you're saying, I'm sorry, Jesus, you're going to have to stay at home because you're not that popular out there. How real is He in your life? Is there hypocrisy in your life? Now, Jesus wants to bring a comfort to those who truly are struggling. They're kind of on the edge. Jesus does this a lot. I think sometimes we put black and white. He's speaking to this person. He's speaking to this person. I think he's speaking to a group of people. Because some are just never going to profess faith. Some of these. But he's speaking specifically to disciples. And he wants his disciples to know, I know you're going to be tempted not to speak publicly about me. And I know sometimes you're going to be scared. We're going to talk about Peter in a moment, who is like that. And I know sometimes it's not going to be easy. And I know sometimes you're going to want to be hypocritical. And I know sometimes you're not going to want to profess my name in public, because the world hates those who follow Christ. They do. They don't want to talk about him. And that's, you know, they don't want anything to do with him. So I understand, in a sense. But understand this, he says. Understand this. I'm going to read the whole context. I'll just get it down here. In verse 8, verse 6, are not five sparrows sold for two pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Those are sparrows. Cheap. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So Jesus wants you to know this, that yeah, I do love you. And don't ever think that you will step out in the public and step out in the world where I'm not popular. Don't ever think that those coming against you can put any fear into you, because I am with you. Don't you know that I care for you this much? Don't you know that every hair on your head is numbered? Don't you know that I have this love for you and this care for you? So when you go out in public and profess me to the world, you are not alone. I am here. I care intimately about you. Intimately about you. I love you so much. Don't ever think that you're alone when you go out into the world. I know it's scary. I know these people are scary, and they come against you, and I know they're going to persecute you. And here he's talking about death even. And I know that, but don't worry, because you are worth far more than you can ever imagine. And I will be there with you to lead you through, to take you through. I will be your strength. Don't you believe that? Believe that. Believe that. That you're not alone when you walk out in the public. You know, the church would grow so much greater and faster if we understood that, if we lived like that, that Jesus loves us. Now understand, there's a side to this. Jesus is saying this to discomfort his disciples, but remember, Jesus intimately knows you so well that your hairs on your head are numbered. He knows you and he loves you so much. He cares about you so much that he knows every detail of your life. Get that. He knows what you say in secret. It's not Santa Claus that knows what you've been saying, you know, what's been going on in your life. It's Jesus Christ. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. I'm not going to finish it. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ wants us to know that he loves us and cares for us and wants to be there for us, but he wants us to be bold because he is there for us. It is tremendously, tremendously scary to know that we serve a God who is mighty enough to send us to hell, has authority to send us to hell. But we should have that fear in our hearts when we become ashamed of him. When you become ashamed of him, and that's what happens when we step in public, we become ashamed of him. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? You know, verse 9 here talks about, and we're going to drop down here for a moment. Verse 9 says something pretty scary again. You just got comfort, right, from Jesus. And he's even here. I tell you, let's start in verse 8. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. That's good, huh? You publicly acknowledge him. You're professing him. That's kind of what we do at baptism. But it doesn't end there. We go out into the world and we tell people about Jesus. You publicly profess your faith right? He says he's happy with that. Is basically what he's saying. I'll acknowledge you before the angels of God. In other words, I will acknowledge. It's another way to say I'll acknowledge you for before God the Father. I'm stepping in the gap here. Yeah, he belongs to me. He spoke boldly about me. Yeah, his life proved that he belonged to me. He was not ashamed of me. He was not ashamed of me. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. Those are heavy words. Now, we like to butter things up a little bit. We don't like to say these things that are hard. But I want to tell you, Jesus didn't hold back here. He was saying some things that brought some shock and awe into this dealing with what it means to want to please man over God and fear man over God. What it means to be a hypocrite and not live a life that you show or you claim to have. Is your faith real, for one? Is it real? Make sure that it is. It will be proclaimed on the rooftop someday. Everyone will know. But most importantly, God knows now. So be real. Be real. Strong language. We like to soften it. If we cannot publicly profess our faith in the midst of opposition, then you should check your faith. Now, I'm not saying that we don't fall sometimes, because we do. And I told you I was talking about Peter here a little bit, because Peter is a great example of that. I mean, first of all, though, the Holy Spirit hadn't come. When he denied Christ three times, I just want to throw that out there. You know, I know that he had been powered by the Spirit for specific times, but Pentecost hadn't come, the Spirit of God had, the tongues of fire had come down. It hadn't been that whole change that, born again, Spirit of God hadn't been given like it is today. So I didn't have that power, that strength, first of all. But, he did. He did later on, when he was sitting with the Gentiles, get rebuked by Paul, because when he was sitting with the Gentiles and the Jews came along, he kind of like neglected them and went off by himself, or went with the Jews. He sided with the Jews, not really having anything to do with the Gentiles. So really, he was kind of denying his faith in a sense that way. So, you know, as being a hypocrite is what he was being. So Peter was guilty of being a hypocrite. So I want to make this point out of this, is that that sometimes we are hypocrites. It doesn't mean we're not believers. You should examine your faith if you've never publicly professed it, or if you're totally ashamed to proclaim Jesus Christ. If you're embarrassed of him, if you're ashamed of him, you should examine your faith. You need to know if it's real. But if you've periodically kind of shied away from publicly professing him, then it could be that you just need to understand that Jesus loves you, that he cares for you. So, Peter finished his ministry off. History tells us that Peter did boldly proclaim Jesus Christ, right? He did. We know that he wasn't in the habit of doing this, because after a while, the Spirit of God got working in him. As a matter of fact, he died on a cross, but felt unworthy. This is what history tells us, that, you know, that he felt so unworthy that they hung him upside down, because he didn't want to be hung in the same way as his Savior. Humility, but he must have been publicly professing his faith in order to be killed for his faith. So anyways, he's an example that way for us more than anything. Verse 10 is a hard verse. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, because we really don't have time to spend a whole lot of time on it. But I really do want to just point out that if this has been your concern, and many Christians, I fall into this as a new believer, been your concern that you've lost your salvation. If it's your concern, that's probably proof that you haven't. The Spirit of God is working in you. This is really scholars... are pretty together on this when they say that it's more talking about attributing the work of God to the work of the devil, is basically what it's saying. It's attributing the work of the work of God to the work of the devil. It's saying that Jesus was evil, and that's exactly what the Pharisees did. Remember, this in context here, he's talking about the Pharisees and their hypocrisy. So if you look at this in context, you'll understand how that goes. It may seem a little off, but he's really bringing it back to what how they're acting, you know? Because they're saying he's evil, he's from the devil, and he's in right? So that's as far as we're going to go on that. If you really felt concerned, if you're worried about committing the unforgivable sin unintentionally, then that's a pretty good sign that you haven't. So verse 11, I'm going to go back to that for just a moment, because we're getting to the end of this passage here. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you would defend yourself or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what you should say. Again, Jesus wants to affirm you. That you may be scared. Well, I don't have all the answers. I think I shared this with you before. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you understand what Jesus has done for you. You need to know Christ and Him crucified, as Paul will say. But that's pretty much it. The Spirit of God is going to teach you. I mean, we need to grow, we need to learn. But don't think that you have to be a scholar to proclaim your faith. And if somebody wants to have a foolish argument about you afterwards, after you shared your faith, after you've shared it, if somebody just doesn't want to listen or has a few foolish argument with you, don't let that burden you down. Just shake the dust off your feet. Shake the dust off your feet, but know that the Spirit of God is there for you when you're proclaiming. And if the Spirit of God is working in that person's heart, which is ultimately what needs to happen, if the Spirit of God is working in that person's heart, understand that He is with you. And he says, you know, don't worry about what you got to say. This is what he's told his disciples at the time, because they would stand before leaders and rulers and everything. But the same thing is for us. It's the same thing. We have the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the same. This is for us too. We need to be bold because we have Jesus on our side. Right? We have Jesus. Who could fear man? So I just want to close with these takeaways, okay? These things to wrap things up. Are you the same person in church as when you sing worship songs or proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior? You're the same person in church as where you are when you step out into the world? Are you the same person? If you are not, it is because your fear is more in people than it is in God. It's more in people than it is in God. Fear is closely related to faith. Whom do you have more faith in? And would you be okay with all of your actions and all of your words being publicly revealed in the church regarding your faith and how you act in the world? Would you be okay with that? You need to pray for repentance if you're not. And ask God to forgive you and help you to be bold. I'm going to give you one piece of advice, one piece of practical application here. This is something I've learned. Because God has given me a boldness to be able to proclaim my faith. And sometimes it's really hard. And I have fallen in hypocrisy once in a while. I have. But you grow in that, and you become better at that, not doing that. But I want to tell you this, that if you can do it once, if you can pray and ask God to give you the boldness just to stand, just to sit down with a group that is opposing the gospel, or you think that might oppose the gospel, if you can sit down and just share the simple faith, your simple faith with them, just once, God will increase your faith. There's a principle here that if you are doing that, if you are acting in faith, God gives you more faith. He promises you that. So get enough nerve up to do it once and then see how it goes from there. Okay, let me pray with you. Father, thank you for this. Thank you for this time I've spent together. Thank you for your word, Lord. Please instill in our hearts that we may proclaim the truth of the gospel to a lost and dying world, that we may be bold. Lord, we don't want to be found hypocritical, We want to be found bold, trusting and fearing in our God. So thank you, Lord. I pray that you bless each and every one, remove their fear, and help them trust in you in all circumstances, God. In Jesus' name, amen.